call, you got the recording going?
We are going.
All right, I'd like to call our October 6th, 2022 Law Enforcement Public Safety Meeting to order. Actually I'll do the approval of the minutes and then we have a brief presentation and then we'll get into resolutions. Before we get to any of that, I want to introduce Michael Tierney, our newest member of the staff. Michael was previously in the Assemblyman's office, and we are very excited to have him in the legislative office here and to have him join us tonight. So welcome, Michael.
Welcome.
And with that, I will take a motion to approve the minutes of the September 8th, 2022 meeting. Moved by Legislator Hansett.
Second.
Second by Legislator Heppner. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the minutes are approved unanimously. And before we get into resolutions, I would like to welcome the team working on site selection for the 911 Emergency Operations Center to give us a brief presentation.
Hey, can I just jump
real
quick?
Oh, yes.
So Mark and I were discussing this, and then we're not requesting an action because there's no resolution before you. So what we're intending to do is give you an update on the site selection search here. The resolution for Paradise Lane is still pending in Ways and Means, but it's really to get feedback from the Committee of Jurisdiction, you guys, who have already spoken and did unanimously approve the resolution previously, but just really to get feedback from you all on where we've gone.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you. Very quickly, I'm Christopher Young with Urban Architects. I've been working with Rick Alfandre from Alfandre Architecture and also with John Montaigne from GPI. Maybe you've perhaps all seen this before. I'm not sure whether it's up with the colors. It looks okay on my screen, but so forgive me, I'm not, the translation seems a little odd, but let's
it's
just...
It's not you, it's us.
Okay.
The same thing happened earlier.
We'll just roll with that.
Yeah. I thought it was too, but now I know it's not.
No. We have a new TV on order,
right?
Okay, good. So when we last were talking with you all, we were looking primarily at a number of sites that were up and around Kingston primarily, but since then we were also asked to take some, deeper look, continue looking at some sites down around New Paltz. Really, I want to kind of turn it over more to John and to Rick, just kind of walk us through, and I'll just be a bit more of the keyboard maybe here, but...
Well, I'll give an overview as a reminder, and then John will dive into the details. So we've been working on this project for over a year, and we started with some criteria from the county in terms of site selection, and we spent a lot of time looking at sites in the New Paltz, in the Kingston area, and then began to look at one particular site in the New Paltz area, the Paradise Lane site, which you've seen. Then we had the major ice storm. We've had a couple of other major storms in Kingston, which really affirmed for us that the location in New Paltz was the best location. During the process of beginning the design of the building and getting into the details with emergency management and with the county, it also became very clear that we really needed, besides access to multiple highways, we needed double access, if at all possible, to Verizon trunk lines and redundant electric services from different offices, essentially, different substations or different feeds. And that reinforced our opinion about the Paradise Lane site. When we got to the Ways and Means Committee several months ago, there was concern about the cost and the timing. Since then, another appraisal was done, and we were directed to look at as many other sites as we possibly could. With the planning office, we searched through a lot of other sites which meet none of the criteria and looked at a couple of additional sites, one in New Paltz and one in Highland. And quite honestly, we still feel that the Paradise Lane site is the best. John and Christopher will go through the details. We took out a lot of the stuff that we talked about previously. You may have seen the paperwork. We didn't present slides when we met at the Restorative Justice Center, but it really now it's, we're not talking about the building. We're pretty clear about where the, what the building needs to be. We're looking at what is the best location for this facility and why.
Quick reminder of the number of good number of sites we looked up in and around Kingston, and then again, number 10 is Paradise Lane, where, which we already kind of focused in, you know, months ago, and then 11, 12, 13 were these extra sites that we've now kind of given additional investigation into.
So just go right down to one more. Oh, it's going to be very hard to see this.
Some settings.
I bet it's the cable. That's my
I
guess.
Try. Is it HDMI?
That's an HDMI cable. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because I should have one in my bag if I want to just try this.
Let's try. Yeah, if you want to try that, let's go.
So I just while Christopher tries that. The criteria,
we may have something too.
The specific criteria of location has resurfaced as being most important. In other words, the fact that it's county owned or potentially municipally owned by another municipality in the county is less important than the actual location, in our opinion.
Where's the remote?
I have it
right. Okay, you want to go to
the HDMI? The sharpness is all the way.
You
I don't know.
HDMI
if
that's 3, if that's.
Yeah, your contrast is all the way up.
Yeah.
There's some settings.
The let me just.
I
and that tint is all the way down.
Yeah.
Someone's been playing around.
Yeah.
It wasn't my kid, I swear. He would.
But while they're doing that, I can at least remind everybody how we went through the selection process and what we did to evaluate the sites. So all of the sites that we looked at had a number of criteria. Obviously, accessibility we talked about. You know, you have to have good access. You can't be in the middle of a gridlock when you have an emergency. The second areas that we looked at was safety. This building needs to be in an area that's not near other things that could cause problems. Freight trains that can have accidents, fuel tanks, high explosive elements, those kinds of things. Then each site has to actually have enough room to put the building on that we want to do. And that site should be have enough environmental considerations looked at, including the topography, the soils, the depth of bedrock, groundwater, things like that.
HDMI 2?
I think it's 2 for...
We all like screens.
Oh, it's the same.
Okay. So it is. Okay. So this site we're going to go through very, very quickly. This is actually in Esopus. It's between the Hudson River and goes up on all the way up to the lake that's up on the top of the hill. The parcel itself is subdivided by 9W. The piece that we looked at is this piece on the right here. But as we got into it and we talked to the realtor more, we found out that the We found out that the realtor was looking to sell just this side, and if you look at this property is a mountain from here up. So even though we did a test to fit and it would work on this site, we had to remove it because it's not that piece is not available. So if you go to the next slide just very quickly, this was the test to fit. This is that other piece. This is the Hudson River here. Train tracks down at the below. Slopes off very quickly, but there was enough room to do what we were looking for. Unfortunately, that one comes off the list. The next site is very hard to see, but this is the New Falls High School. So you're all familiar with the high school is. And the tapers, where the buses line up right across from that is the property that we looked at. This is on South Putt Road. This site actually has a little bit more, it's more user-friendly to us. But there are a couple of environmental restrictions on here that limit it. There is a New York State DEC wetland that comes around the backside of this. DEC wetlands have a 100-foot buffer around them, so it takes a lot of the property. And then on the backside here, There's actually a large earth formation. It's called a drumlin. It's resistant material. It's rock. So there's enough room on this property to get our site in, so I'll show you that. But this corner back up in here, where we start to get into the future expansion, is where that bedrock is, and that wetland comes right up into here. So we're kind of tight in here. The other thing that we'd have to do here is we'd have to make sure that our entranceway lines up with the high school's driveway, because the driveway itself, or that road, that whole stretch through there, has the tapers for all the bus queuing in the morning. So as far as our timing and their timing, yes, you know, the EOC is going to be there at 7 in the morning, and all the buses are going to be there at 7 in the morning. But as far as the property goes, it does have municipal water. We would have to do a septic system here, and there's some groundwater issues with it. But it now has elevated, and it's one of the one of the sites that we looked at with more consideration. Then the last site that we looked at is as you're going down 299, heading down towards 9W, as you're going down, from the exit of New Falls, heading towards the towards Poughkeepsie. And on that hill, as you're coming down, just before you start to that big grade that goes down, there's a piece of property there that we looked at as well. It has
the corner of 299 and 9W.
Yeah, 299 and 9W. It does have a municipal water and sewer available, which is a nice thing for us. And we would only need, Chris, can you bring up the site plan? We would only need half the piece of property, but I think that we would, the county would be obligated to buy both. I don't think they would subdivide it. And we'd want to do that because there are easements on this property that provide access to the other, and that's not really an ideal thing to have on the EOC site. So if we could be an access easement to get to other properties, people would be able to get through the site, and that would be accomplished. It, too, is a lot of rock. So that adds to the cost of it. And as you know, 299 can be very busy from a traffic standpoint. But it is, off the highway. And then I think the next thing that we have is Paradies. We've already talked about Paradies. This is the interchange off the thruway. We would come in off Paradies Lane, and we'd be looking at... So there's two options on this. We had originally talked to you about the fact that the county could purchase the entire property. And then we were also looked at just from Ways and Means to just look at the 6.5-7 acres that we would need for the building. The thing that we like about this site is that it is very, very accessible. It's flat as a pancake. It's got great sandy soils. We would have to do our own well and septic, but the EOC building is a small demand for that, so it would be easy to do that. Ample room for expansion. There is some soil contamination from the old orchard was there, but it's manageable on the site. The practice for doing that is very simple. And so...
And redundant power.
And that's the other thing, is this one actually has the best Verizon trunk line duplicity coming in very close to it, and it also has redundant power from two different directions. So from an infrastructure and utility standpoint, it's pretty much hands down the best site, and from an accessibility standpoint, you can't get a better location than this coming right off the highway. So, Christopher, I don't know what other slides you had in here, and let's just go through. I think part of this is I wanted to make sure that everybody was aware that we did go through the same process looking at these other three sites. Go down one more, Christopher. So if you remember, we had the selection criteria sheet.
This doesn't look any more like the first time, but...
Well, that's strategically important. Christopher could zoom in on this, but the more important thing to point out is that we went through a very detailed process to do this. And we looked at now 13 sites we're up to now. And we've used the same criteria over and over again. So we've been very consistent in looking at everything, every site with the same level of detail. And after this process, just so you can go all the way down to the site selection. Yeah, great color scheme. Mm-hmm. But I think what's important here is you'll see that Paradies Lane still ranks at the highest on us. It's coming in at 24 points, right? The next one down, though, is that South Buck Corner site that I talked to you about across from the high school. That one and the 299 site are really within a point of each other. They both came in at like 23.5. Either one of those sites, if we couldn't get Paradies, either one of those sites would be worth spending a little more time looking at. But again, I think when we talk about land costs, you're going to see that both the South Putt Road and the 299 site don't really get you that much better bang for the buck for per dollar for what you have to pay for the land than what you could purchase the Paradise Lane site from. And then the last thing is the Golden Hill site. It still ranks there. You know, we can't say that it doesn't because it's already got a tower, you already own it. But it's very, very congested. And in the last storms that we had, those ice storms that we had, it became very apparent that you don't want to have everything clustered in that part of Kingston. You know, anything that happens that blocks those roads and nobody's getting in and out. So I think that's where we're at.
Sorry, it's the accessibility issue, but it's also a redundancy issue. You know, it just does not offer the same.
Right. There's no
redundancy. Also, having the backup unit would be at the law enforcement center, which doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, there's
so having them so close in proximity.
So that, I think, is probably all we have time for in our presentation, and we'd like to open it to questions.
So any, Chris, do you
want to add? Yeah, I just want to follow on just in terms of where we are with the other properties. Obviously, we had an offer and have an offer pending with the Paradise Lane, but have peeled back from that part of it. The other two properties, we have not made any offers, or we haven't gone to that next level. If the discussion shifts to the other properties, I would recommend that we move extremely quickly. Like that, it is now becoming an issue of these guys have been engaged in this process, I think, for approximately 12 or 13 months with the county. The equipment, the grant, all of that stuff is beginning to age at this point. So we're hoping that the due diligence that they've done here will help speed that conversation along and provide options, at least in our perspective, for at least conversation to view a side-by-side here. I would also, we can share this with the committee, send it out so they can actually see it.
Absolutely.
So Fawn, and we'll get it to Fawn and Michael and make sure that everyone can actually read it.
Any questions from folks on the committee? Chris?
You said you're up to 13 sites now. Are you still looking?
No.
Not actively. I think you know, we have what we think are some fine choices here. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're asked to, we can keep going. But I think as far as we're concerned, there are good sites here, and it's just a matter of kind of picking and getting, you know, being able to move forward.
I think we can't answer for Dennis, but I'm sure Dennis is still looking.
I think to ask a question. Are there cost savings? Because I know that one of the primary concerns is cost of Perry's Lane site. So where does that cost factor come in with the two other sites that we're looking at here?
Sorry, I'm going to try and balance between, I don't know if it's legible, but again, we will pass this along. In terms of the construction cost, we're kind of going on a very high level idea. For the building itself, for any one of these three sites, Paradise Lane or Lloyd, by 9W or South Putz Corner Road, we're almost just moving it, dropping it. You know, yes, we'll have to adjust it for the actual site, but those costs are kind of straightforward. But then land acquisition costs, of course, are changing. Reflected in here is the idea of just limiting it to the 6 or so acres that you know the legislature is interested for Paradise Lane. So it's dropped down from the $3.5 million to $1.8 million for Paradise Lane.
So the Lloyd site would be more expensive, about $2 million more,
right,
overall. And you have slight savings on South Putt, but we don't have full numbers back from Verizon and Central Hudson on what it would take to bring in the redundancy on South Putt.
Like, right.
We haven't moved that far yet.
And so I understand the answer to this question for the Lloyd site, for the South Putt Corner site, when the question inevitably comes up, why do we need 27 acres? Why don't we get them to just give us the 7 acres or whatever?
They're not going to subdivide. It's for sale right now.
Okay.
And what you're left over with is essentially a piece of wetland problems,
right,
et cetera.
And so we've got the big rock formation in the back, and we've got the wetland.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, of course, with the Lloyd property, you have the easements issue.
The Lloyd property is more expensive than the easement issue.
Right. Right. $3 million. Right. So, okay. Any other questions, Jen?
With the South Putt piece there, there's just one road there, right?
Right.
But we have two ways in, right? Like if one of them were blocked, then we could come in on the other side.
The nice thing about that site is you can come in from 299 or
32. Okay.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to speak as a citizen?
I can call on you.
May
I? Yes, right. Go ahead.
Deputy county execs want to choke me, but after It's been, I think it's like, when did we start? September, didn't we? Mm-hmm. We spent a lot of time on this, and it's my professional opinion and also personal opinion that the county should buy the entire Paradis Lane site. That there are other potential uses for that site, and irrespective of the prices, which I realize is freaking some people out, there are long-term benefits that have been talked about. Future bus facility, maybe. Cornell may need a lab. Soil and water conservation rents. State police, maybe. Maybe housing or mixed-use development. It seems short-sighted to not buy the residual 20-some useful acres for $2 million extra dollars. That's my opinion. And I'm a taxpayer.
Thank you. Legislator Hefner, do you have a question?
Yeah, I just had a... If you can go back to the slide with the financial breakdowns. Sure. Mm-hmm. And just kind of my overall question, just from your opinions, just because knowing those three locations, you know, they're very close to each other. We're talking few minute drives between some of these, but what is so? But yeah, 6 acres is being listed for what was it? 1.8 million. But then 20 acres is
1.3.
So there seems to be, compared to the acreage in which we would get in a very close vicinity, a very big discrepancy between the amount of acreage we would get versus paying similar prices. What is the main...
So, I mean, John mentioned it. It's the wetlands that are on a large portion of the South Butt corner. So in that 20-whatever acres, I don't know what the exact number is, but it's also the developable land. It's not flat. Like, Paradis Lane is a flat site. It was an orchard. This, you have a lot of rock. You have other things. It's more difficult to develop.
And it's narrow.
It really is the quality of the land. It's a much better quality land on Paradis than on South Putt, and even on the Lloyd site. You know, the biggest thing that's going to add cost to anything, rock excavations for utilities and foundations and other work, really exponentially increases your cost. And then on that one site, the South Putt, it's not a Army Corps wetland, it's a DEC wetland. And what that means is New York State DEC has a 100-foot buffer that they have all the way around the wetlands on top of the wetland. So the wetland takes up about a third of the site, and then the buffer adds to that impact. And then on that southeast corner of the site, you've got a large rock formation that you can't really build on. Whereas all of Paradis in the front area that we're looking at, you've got the 6 or 7 acres that we need, plus an additional 27 clean acres. And then there is some Army Corps wetlands in the back of it, but that's out of the development zone.
Any other questions? Otherwise, I'd like to move into resolutions. Yeah. All right. Thank you,
thank
guys.
You.
Really appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I'm
just going
to know. Oh, please. And then so I just send this over to Mark.
That would work. Thank you so much. Sorry for the AV problems.
And the neighbors down the road would have power.
Oh, Michael, can you just grab a bunch of resolutions? They're going to end up dead ending at Chris's, in front of Chris, and you just pass them back up here.
Perfect.
Thank you again, guys.
Thank you.
And is this somebody's phone?
Okay, good.
Uh-oh.
Okay, good.
Chris?
Is this your phone?
Hey, you want to bring it?
Yep. Thank you.
All right. So with that, we can get into resolutions. The first resolution on for tonight is resolution number 189, establishing a policy prohibiting the housing of incarcerated individuals transferred from facilities outside of Ulster County. which has a strike through of the prior title, the No More Incarceration for Profit policy amended to the, or, you know, proposed amendment for the new title, the Ulster County Board in Policy. This was referred back to us from the September session, referred back from Ways and Means at their second meeting in September. Can I have a motion to discuss?
I'll make the motion.
All right, motion from Legislator Hewitt. Can I have a second?
Second.
Second from Deputy Chair Hansett. So neither the author nor the remaining, one of the remaining sponsors is here. I would defer to the will of the committee, but my inclination would be to recommend that we take no action.
I'm good with that.
Yep. Okay. All right, so with that, we can just simply move on. If we're taking no action, we can just
have that.
Great, thank you so much. Next resolution, resolution number 495, supporting the New York State Clean Slate Act, which is Assembly Bill 6399 and Senate Bill 1553. Can I have a motion to discuss?
I'll move it.
All right, move from Legislator Heppner. Can I have a second?
Second.
Second from Legislator Hewitt. Any discussion? So just for some background, this is to support state legislation that would help folks that were previously incarcerated have a better shot at housing and employment opportunities by making a statute for how long you can look back into someone's felony history. And I understand that it passed the Senate in the last session and will be brought up again this session. We did a letter last year about this, and we're ratcheting up the pressure with a moralizing resolution. Any questions? District Attorney Clegg.
I'll just throw in that there are concerns about this statute within the District Attorney's Association throughout the state. And nevertheless, so I just want to let you know that there are issues that are going to come up. Clean slate is a good idea. Part of the world that we've been in forever is recognizing the harms that people have done over time and recognizing how that might affect the future. It's part of the world that I'm in. I believe in it. But there are concerns, and I just thought I should say that to you, that you know the DA's association does not approve of this statute. So I'm giving you that.
I like to voice my concerns about it, too. There are a lot of, look, once people do their terms, they should continue to do their terms the rest of their lives, and I understand the intent of the legislation. Of course, the concerns are that if it's a clean slate for something, for example, involving children, abuse, in situations like that, that becomes a major concern. And in certain confidential type of jobs, for example, at the sheriff's office or the DA's office, it does become a concern. I don't know all the details of the legislation. They changed it a few times. But the concerns are that certain people get in positions and it becomes a huge issue afterwards and more crimes are being committed that the law enforcement has to investigate and the DA's office has to prosecute. I think generally we understand what the Assembly and Senate is trying to do. I was knocking on doors a couple months ago and there was a gentleman that got a DWI 15 years ago and he can't get his license, which means he can't get a job. And I think we can all understand what that means and how something like clean slate would help in a situation like that. On the other hand, you have someone that molests children all the time and there's a clean slate legislation for something to happen 20 years ago and he ends up in a position where there's children and something happens again. I know that's an extreme, but I'm saying those are the concerns that law enforcement has regarding clean slate. The other thing is, a lot of private industries that we use now for fingerprinting, I think they're going to be cut out. So when someone goes to apply for a job and they have to get fingerprinted, I forget the place is called here in Kingston.
Identigo.
Yeah. Right. Companies like that will be out of business because they're not going to be allowed to run and get criminal histories for somebody in any type of profession. How does employers that have sensitive jobs, not just in law enforcement but in regular industry, is going to look into that? And how's that going to affect them? So until those things are ironed out, again, I don't think anybody disagrees with the premise of it. It's just the specifics need to be spelled out.
Sure.
And I just want to throw out.
Go ahead.
That our DA's office deals with sealing requests all the time, and we always grant them unless it's something. You know, it gives us the opportunity to see what the background is. If there's something, very serious, we get to jump in. If there's not, we absolutely, go along with it. And so having some discretion within our county isn't a bad thing. I'm just letting you know that, our county, of course, is in favor of sealing whenever it's appropriate. And if it's not, we get in the way because it's not appropriate. This bill might restrict our ability to do that.
Do you want to speak to that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my understanding is that those extreme cases wouldn't remove that ability to look back in those extreme cases. I could be wrong about that, and if someone wants to speak to it who's more knowledgeable of the current legislation, I would invite them to. I'm also open, I would defer to the will of the committee, of course, but if we wanted to wait a month on this and investigate it further, I suspect that we'll come around to supporting it, but the state legislature is not in session currently.
Not until January.
Yeah, so they're not going to be acting on this anyway. So I don't know.
And that's right. I'd be happy to get the DA's perspective on everything here. I know they're against it, and exactly, it's not the whole thing, but it's parts of it. And if you want to know more detail about it, might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, so
to reintroduce it.
If folks, want to postpone it for a month, I would be open to that. But I'll defer to Legislator Hewitt.
I think Sheriff Figueroa made some great points, which helped me think about it more. I was very supportive of it and was actually going to ask you if those requirements are in this. So I think a little more info would help.
There is something in here about it, and I think that we should look further into it. It has that sealing of certain convictions other than sex offenses or serious.
I do have a write-up from the State Sheriff's Association that can read to your email.
Yeah, why don't you share it? So why don't we do this? I'll invite or entertain a motion if someone would like to make it to postpone this, and then we can share materials and get kind of the full spectrum of viewpoints about this.
I'm going to email it to you right now.
Okay. Well, can you email it to Fawn and she can share it with the committee?
Okay.
Thank you, Sheriff.
I'll make the motion to postpone.
Okay, we got a motion to postpone. Can I have a second?
Yes.
Yeah, a second from Deputy Chair Hansett. The motion was Legislator Hewitt. Any discussion on the postponement? All right, I'll call the question. All those in favor of postponing this 1 month?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the postponement is unanimous. What do we do here? Moving on to Resolution 505, approving the execution of a contract for $168,000 entered into by the county with Chad Davis Contracting, Inc., the Department of Public Works. Can I have a motion to discuss?
Motion.
Can I have a second?
Second.
All right, so motion from Deputy Chair Hansett, second from Legislator Heppner. I would defer to someone on the county executive's team.
Sure. So this is to replace the leach field, the septic, at the new fire training center. It was the intent to use the existing leach field. It was discovered pretty early on that it's too small and it's filled up. And so this is money that was left over in the capital to replace the leach field. And we believe this would be a long-term solution.
Okay.
And it's 50% reimbursable.
That's great.
Where's the center?
Where the, it's the town of Ulster, by Ulster Landing Park.
In there, have you been there?
Not ever.
Yeah. You'll definitely take a tour there at some point.
We would love to.
Everett will put you in.
Yes, please. They did some interesting training for legislators.
At one point, yeah. So it's been a little while.
We have to shave if we do it, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But
I'm getting ready.
I shave for that.
All right.
That's coming up.
So. Yeah, I'm going to do it, so.
All right.
All right, so any questions or further conversation? Okay. All those in favor of approving resolution number 505?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, that is unanimous. Resolution number 509, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 11 of 2022, a local law amending local law number 10 of 2007, providing for the administration and enforcement of the New York State Uniform Fire Prevention and Building Code, to be held on Tuesday, November 15th, 2022 at 7:05 p.m. I have a motion to discuss.
Motion.
Second.
All right, motion from Deputy Chair Hansett, second from Majority Leader Hefter. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, so I asked Dante to be here to kind of give, you know, to answer any questions on this resolution, but he was telling me as he came in that we're going to need to request a postponement on this. We should really be making some changes to the administrative code and not the local law, and that there might be time, if you want to explain that.
Yeah, so I apologize for sort of a last-minute discovery on my part, but... the local law itself was amended in 2010, when all the local laws were adopted into our administrative code. So this local law should really be framed as an amendment to the code. So I started making those revisions, but I just didn't have them in time for the meeting tonight. And if there are any questions about, there's really no substantive changes. It's really just the headings and the framing of the law.
So the one thing I would ask as a process question is, if I know there's concerns about us getting this done before the end of the year, and you typically don't vote on something in the same meeting as the public hearing. So I'm wondering if maybe if we set the public hearing next month, if it can be set for the first session, which is probably budget, to do the public hearing then, and then still pass it in December, so that we...
I did discuss that with the clerk ahead of this meeting, and my understanding is that that's possible.
Okay.
My understanding is, you know, from a statutory perspective, we could even vote the same night as the hearing.
Okay.
If we had to, if for some reason...
Typically not done, but...
Yeah, but I don't think that's for a statutory reason. So yeah, I appreciate the approach that you guys are taking. I've had our council review the draft that we were provided with, you know, I think that if there aren't many substantive changes, I don't think there was an issue with what we saw in that. I had some initial concerns, but I think those were settled by council.
Okay.
Anyone have any questions? All right, I'll entertain a motion to postpone for 1 month.
So moved.
All right, motion from Legislator Hefner. I have a second. Second from Legislator Hewitt. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? This is a postponement, kind of a night. I know, usually we're like driving ahead. All right, resolution number 510, approving Ulster County's 2023 Stop DWI program plan and authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute all intermunicipal agreements required under the plan, Department of Probation, Stop DWI Division. Can I have a motion to discuss?
Moved.
And a second. All right, we got a motion from Legislator Hefner, a second from Deputy Chair Hansett, and I will defer to our Director of Probation to give us a little bit of background.
So the Stop DWI program is fully funded by fines that come into the county from DWI prosecutions, convictions, and sentences. Every year we prepare a plan. Some of this is designated by an advisory board that meets with all the law enforcement agencies that are applying for funding under this, and then they make a recommendation, and we make a determination somewhat based on the previous full year's fine money. We meet in May, so we're always, like, for 23, we're using 21 numbers in the middle of 22 and trying to gauge trends. As everyone knows, COVID really threw a wrench in that. So this plan is based on our educated best guess of fine money coming in, and if we were to see a trend going in a different direction, we'd adjust mid-year, but that's what the plan is based on. There's also the high visibility engagement campaign, for which we get a certain amount of money from the state organization, and we also distribute that to the police agencies. So.
Thank you. Any questions? Anyone on the committee? All right. If there's no further questions, then I will call the question on resolution number 510. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, that is unanimous. Resolution number 511, approving the execution of a contract for $245,108.90 entered into by the county with Avia Networks Emergency Management. I have a motion to discuss.
Make the motion.
All right. I have a second.
Second.
All right, motion from Legislator Hewitt, second from Legislator Hefner. And I suppose Director Erickson, I don't know who best to kind of frame the... Yep.
So this right here is for the equipment and the microwaves to go from the new Sorority Tower to Sam's Point, which ties in that tower into our radio system. It's grant money. It's interoperability money. That's really... Go ahead. I don't think I'm missing anything, Steve.
And these are existing towers?
So Sam's Point is an existing tower.
Yep.
Sorority is a brand new tower. We just constructed that tower. It's one of the towers that was determined was needed for the radio system. So there's other towers that we're working on as well. But Steve's been working really hard on trying to get this system up and running for us. So this is just a microwave path to bring that tower into the system.
And the microwave signal, what are those used? What specifically is that used for? What component of the infrastructure?
Sorry, now you're getting deep.
Okay, I don't know. Like, what's it for?
So that gets the communication back to the PSAP,
yeah,
to the consoles, so that we can transmit from the tower. That's the easiest way I can like it.
They have a great report on the final cast system for the county and what it means in terms of what the changes are and what that means in terms of the towers and the equipment that we have to put on them. And we're currently engaged with the planning department and others and with respect to locating those towers. You're going to see increases with respect to Tonchi, as the legislature just considered a lead agency resolution with respect to Tonchi. We're looking at a tower in Rosendale. We're also looking at numerous towers in the Shandaken quarter, and looking at those. One of the things that's getting done is all the path analysis, so the towers can talk to each other. It's getting done. Steve is spearheading that, and we're doing the environmental work and some of the site planning work for that work.
Great. Cool. Any questions from folks on the committee? Or any further discussion? All right, I'll call the question on resolution number 511. All those in support?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, resolution number 511 is unanimous. We don't have any old business. We don't have any new business. Dennis, do you want to?
It's with some trepidation, and Chris Kelly can,
okay,
can say that that's the case. I just want to go back and revisit the discussion with respect to the Emergency Management Center, the Government Operations Center. And I want to do it in two places. One is that I want to reassure this legislature that the siting effort that's been going on here has been rigorous. It has essentially looked all over this county within the areas that we established. There's been a consensus with respect to the expertise that's on the team and the expertise associated with specific issues as it relates to the Government Operations Center in terms of how to score these sites and how to bring them forward. And I think it's very important that you should know that the team is unanimous with respect to and competent with respect to what it's considering bringing to the legislature in terms of sites that work. The other thing I want to say has to do with where we are as a county and where what we have in terms of resources. One of the things that we do in the plan in planning is we start to think about what they call scenario planning. And you look at when you're doing certain kinds of things, you look at the amount of resources that you have compared to the things that you want to do. And you start to basically say to yourself, what would I do if I had a lot of resources? What would I do if I had a minimal amount of resources? And what would I do in between? We're in a situation where, in my opinion, is that the county does have resources. That allows us to start making decisions less on a transactional basis. In other words, this project, that project, this project, and more on a holistic basis. And so when you start to think about sites and you start to think about what we can do with those sites, what I would ask the legislature to consider is to look at this not as a transactional, not as can we put a GOT there, but look at it from a policy perspective. Should we have greater presence and should we think about other uses when siting a GOC? We're going to invest a lot of money with respect to infrastructure as it relates to telecommunications and power. So when we start to think of other uses that have kinds of the telecommunication needs and power needs, we want to make sure that the site that we're buying and the site that we're filling out can meet some of those needs. Now, Rick mentioned some of the discussions that he's had, but I just want to say to the legislature, when you look at the resources that are available and you're not in a tight resource area, you may want to think about what can happen at a site 20 years from now, or at least 5 years from now. And I will tell you that when you look at that, one of the things that the county is going to have to face relatively shortly is a need for a bus garage, and probably that bus garage is best located in the New Paltz area. So if we only find a site that can handle a GOC, we're going to be back to you trying to find a site to handle a bus garage.
If I could add one last piece, because this will be my last meeting of this committee. What I would say also is, when we envision this Government Operations Center as kind of a net zero building, we envisioned mass large scale solar. If we only purchase 6 acres, that is not going to be possible in the Paradis Lane site. So we may or may not reach some of our net zero goals. And if we're looking at Green New Deal and the climate crisis that we're in, I think it is important to consider that we get to net zero for this building. And that there may be grants and funding sources from DISHES and others to help us get there, because they really want to see a model net zero site for this type of energy.
From if I may.
Yeah, go ahead, sure.
From a public safety standpoint and a strategic standpoint, I just go back to what happened during the pandemic, and we use the EOC in the law enforcement center. We had to buy air conditioners and to put in there. I've been to Orange County. I've been to several other counties' emergency operations center. We are so far behind. We're living in the 1990s here. And I think you look and see what we have around. We got the Hudson River. We have that commercial rail that all kinds of toxic stuff come up and down that rail. We have the New York State Thruway. That's the only main road coming through here. If you talk across the river, you got the Taconic, you have 684. Our nearest airport is Stewart Airport. If they're going to ship in goods to help in a disaster, you know, that's where it's coming in. It's not going to come from over the airport. So we don't have an airport in this county. So having a spot strategically located off the thruway, you know, next to where everything can be, and not putting all your apples in one basket as far as public safety is concerned, and my history of being 22 years in logistics in the Marine Corps, it's a no-brainer. And I don't know how much it costs. I'm just giving you my opinion looking at it on the public safety aspect. You know, we're lucky we haven't had any earthquakes or That's going to happen. The future is going to be different. We've seen what's changed in the last 30 years with climate, and it's, the storms are going to get worse. And I think delaying a project like this is just a huge mistake. And I hope that whatever solution you come up with is something that we can all live with and do quickly. Because just go to any other county and go take a look at their EOCs, and you're going to see exactly what I'm talking about.
You want to hear what you...
So on Tuesday, I went over to Dutchess County 911. I was there for 2.5 hours, took a tour. I was blown away. And they're already looking... They sent me their plans for to move on already, that they're going to build a new 911, the not the government operations, but their actual communications room where they take the calls. I was just so impressed with everything, and I knew that we were behind, but when I saw that, it was, you can't even compare. And I did take some pictures, and I can forward to my committee here. Their EOC was just incredible. I mean, their setup is just amazing, and they're ready to go at any time. And I said, where you actually take your calls, I think could fit in the vestibule over there. And, you know, just there was a vestibule, and then you went into another vestibule, so it's all just quiet and secured, and people aren't walking through, and it was amazing. And if anybody gets a chance, Dana over there will take you through, and it's worth it to go over and see how far behind we are. And they're already moving on to the next thing that we are so far behind.
I agree with what everybody is saying, and I would just say, you know, when the folks are making the presentation to Ways and Means, I mean, for one, these comments are super helpful, and if these comments can be made at the Ways and Means Committee, you know, I think that we would all benefit from that. You know, with just some notes on the presentation, the Verizon trunk lines should be front and center. I mean, that's such a huge thing. There should be an asterisk next to every property that doesn't have the redundancy of the utmost level, and that should be clear. And then the acreage, you know, the usable acreage should be a separate line in the presentations, right? So that the question of, well, that's actually a wetland, it's not really 20, it's not really 27, that can be settled. You know, the Lloyd, I mean, the one, there's one that I think is close to the tracks, you know, that's, I mean, we know what runs on those tracks, you know, billions of tons of explosives every day, I'm perhaps exaggerating, perhaps not. I mean, we're talking a lot of material, so I think that we're very, I mean, I don't want to speak for the committee, I'll speak for myself, very supportive. I think many of us on the committee, I think most of us, I mean, you know, very supportive of how we can help get this move forward here. This is the type of thing that, you know, it really is core and critical to everything that we're responsible for in this county.
And I would encourage our colleagues, if you haven't visited, to please, I'm sure that you're open to have any visitors there and to just actually see it. I went as soon as I was sworn in January. I think I was there by the 15th, took the tour, and went to the wrong building because I'm like, it can't be that little house with the grill. And like they're like, nope, it's over there. And just not what I envisioned. So it's not fair to our residents, and it's not fair to our employees, the way that they had to work through COVID in that small space.
Yeah. Like Senator mentioned it to this group, but when we were talking about the larger acreage, I thought about how food security is as important as other security, and using that land for edibles, wherever it would fit in, I think would be a cool part of a holistic plan. Mm.
I agree on that.
Cool.
More land.
Yeah.
All right. So if there's no further comments, then I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Sure.
All right. A motion from from Deputy Chair Hanson.
We have to.
Second.
You know where I have to go then.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. We are adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Oh, and thank you, Marshall.
Probably.